Today's going to be our fourth and final class on the Tzaraz business. The first 2 days we spent talking about the Tzaraz that afflicts the person. And we talked about the difference between exposed flesh and the hair of the beard. And yesterday we talked about the home, the house that could get Tzaraz. Now the truth is, as we're going to see, the right order is that first it afflicts the home, and afterwards the clothing, and afterwards the person. That is the truth, and that's going to be a key part of today's thesis. And the question is, why is it that the Torah first talked about tzaras of a person, that's in Parshas Tazria, and then it begins by talking, then it goes on to talk about the clothing, and then it talks about the purification process, and only afterwards does it talk about the tzaras of batim, of homes. So the Medrash Tadshe says that's because Moshe Rabbeinu told the Jewish people about these mitzvahs when we were in the desert. And there were nobody had homes. The problem, of course, is why didn't he speak about the clothing first, if that's the case? Rabbeinu Bechaya says that Drachei Adarkei Noyam, the ways of the Torah are pleasant. And what this means is that Hashem doesn't like to give us the difficulties and the bad news, break it and gets worse and worse and worse. It's better, he says, first you get the worst and then it gets better and better. Hashem prefers to give it better and better rather than continuously worse. So the worst of all is when one's person is afflicted, and from there it only gets better. But we're going to talk about this, and as the Medrash HaGadol says, Ein muktam u'mu'ucher b'teira, we know that the Torah is not written chronologically, necessarily. Usually that means that the ideas in the Torah do not follow in the manner that they unfolded. The narrative is not necessarily in according to exactly what happened. But here, interestingly, it means Eimuktam Amuchar means that the order in which the Torah told us about these mitzvahs is not the order in which they will happen. It's not first the person, then the clothing, then the home, but actually on the contrary. Okay, so with that little preface, let's continue where we left off yesterday. Chapter 14. We talked about the person gets bad news, or he notices that there's something wrong with the walls of his home. Pasuk Lamed Hey, Uva Asher Loi Habayis, the person who is the homeowner, Asher Loi Habayis, has to go. Uva he comes, Vehigid LaKohen, he will relate this to the Kohen. Lamer saying, Kanega nire li babois. It seems to be some kind of lesion in my home. It doesn't say nega nire li, it says kanega. So the first thing that we noted here is it doesn't say uva el hakoyin. It says uva asher loy habayis, the homeowner, the one who is the bal habayit of the home, that's who has to come. So the Teretz Kohenim says that teaches you that you should not send a messenger to the Kohen. But no matter how prominent or how important this person is, if the Tzaraas is on his home, then he or she himself or herself has to come and speak to the Kohen. The Torah's Kohenim wants to say that unless somebody's incapacitated, they would have to go. But if they're a Zokin, if they're very elderly, maybe they wouldn't. The Medrash Lekach Toiv goes on to say, Afilu Zokin Uchela. Even if the person is elderly, infirm, and has a difficult time getting around, nonetheless, chayev love ba'atzmei, they themselves have to come. And as the Ibn Ezra points out, it's a mitzvah, it's like a command that you should come to the Kohen. You got tzaras, you have to come to the Kohen, not you as the person. Obviously the person would have to come because he has to show his own skin. But here we're talking about the home. He says, no, it's your home, you have to be the one to come. There's a special emphasis on the homeowner himself coming. Now here's a fascinating medrash. The medrash says that Yirmiyahu was the Kohen. The home was the Beis HaMikdash. The Tzaraas was the Tzelem, was the idol that the wicked and evil King Menashe put in the Heichal. So God came to the Kohen. God is the owner of the home. It's God's Beis HaMikdash. God comes to the owner of the home. Pardon me, the owner of the home comes to the Kohen. God comes to Yirmiyahu and says, there's a nega in the Beis HaMikdash. There's a lesion. Anyway, it's an interesting medrash. Al kol panim, at any rate, what is clear here is that there's a mitzvah uva asher loy habayis. This is specific to the person who owns the home, that he has to come and relay the news. He has to tell the kohen, look, this is my situation. V'higid l'kohen leimer. He says, why doesn't it say v'yoymar? Say v'higid. What's the emphasis on the word v'higid? So we know that the word v'higid is usually a little bit harsh, like tough talking, like kashin kigidim, like it says. And the Medrash HaGadol says that when the kohen has this conversation with the person, it's not really a pleasant conversation. It says, oh, you have a little problem. That's interesting. Let me see what I can do for you. This is, you have a nega? You know why negoyim come? This is like sobering talk. This is not a relaxed conversation. It's a difficult and a sobering conversation. But he shouldn't say, kanega nidali. There seems to be a nega in somebody else's home. So nega nidali, it's my issue. It's my problem. Okay, what does this mean? So tomorrow is the birthday of the Rebbe Maharash. Tonight, Bezir. And there's a story told that the Rebbe Maharash is very sharp. And there was a certain chassid who did something very inappropriate. And he was ashamed to come to the Rebbe and say he did such and such. But he needed some advice. He had to get out of the situation. So what did he do? He came to the Rebbe and he said that I have a good friend. A friend who trusts me absolutely. And he asked me to come on his behalf and say that such and such, you know, unfolded. And maybe the Rebbe could give some advice. So the Rebbe gave a big smile. And he said, that's interesting. Why couldn't your friend come himself and say you sent him? Right, so this is like the idea. The Panim Yafa says, Kanega nida liba boys. Don't come and tell stories. Somebody's house has tzaras. I don't know where this comes from. Maybe the kohen could come and look and see. Kanega nirali. I get it. This is directed at me. I'm the homeowner. This is my issue. This is my problem. Now, why does he say kanega? He doesn't say nega nirali. Why does he say kanega? So Rashi tells us, kanega nirali, which is very exact. The Torah's words are very precise. He doesn't say nega, a lesion, but kan nega. Sha'afilu hu chacham, that even if this person is learned, educated, wise, he's an expert. V'yedei ashahu nega vadai, he knows that this is definitely the lesion. He knows what he's looking at. He's seen this before. This is the real deal. La'yifseik dover barur, he should not make this explicit, unequivocal ruling. Lo'imar, to say nega nirali. I think I saw a nega. There is a lesion there. He shouldn't say that. Ella, what should he say? He should say kan nega. He should say, it looks, I think there might be. This might be a lesion, but I don't know if it's actually a lesion. Now, Rashi doesn't tell us why that's the case. Rashi just tells us what is the case. He says, kan nega is precise, and the person should tell the kohen, I think there's a problem. I don't know. I think there's a problem. So the Maharal of Prague, in his commentary on Rashi called Gur Aryeh, says something incredible. He says, this is to tell you that it's not a nega. What do you mean it's not? It is a nega. He knows what a nega is. No. A nega, which means the formal, actual lesion of tzaras, which brings about ritual impurity, only happens when the kohen says it's a nega. When the kohen will say it's a nega, that's when it's a nega. Otherwise, you just say kan nega, because it is always the kohen who has to make that ultimate determination. The Tosfos Yom Tov says, we have this idea in Yiddishkeit, al tiftach pele satan. Don't bring certain things into the realm of speech. Don't even verbalize certain things. You don't even want to speak about certain things. Because when a person speaks, then it actualizes. There's a great power in speech. And because there's tremendous power in speech, there's a concern that maybe the person did make a mistake. And even if it's not 100% a nega, the fact that you already verbalized it as such and you called it unnecessarily, because that wasn't your job. The kohen's job is to identify. It wasn't your job to say anything. But you decided to say that actually could bring it about. It could actually make it happen. And the truth is, it's there's like interesting conversation or commentary amongst the different mafarshim, what exactly this means. The Pardes Yosef, quoting the Baal HaTurim, says that sometimes a person actually thinks there's a nega, but it may not be so. Hashem makes it appear as a nega. Maybe Hashem just wants to give him a shakedown, but it's not really there. It's only for appearance's sake. Maybe this means sometimes we think, we imagine things to be. You know, you think everybody's looking at you. You're sure about things. So, and maybe sometimes really you did see that. Maybe that's what Hashem showed you, but that's not what's really happening. So therefore, don't make a ruling. Don't identify this with certitude. You say kan nega. After you say kan nega, then the kohen will come. He has a job. So what does the kohen do? The first thing the kohen does before he looks at the nega, before he makes a pronouncement, first thing he does is vitziva hakohen. The kohen instructs ufinu es habayis. The home has to be emptied. Take everything out. Why take everything out? Well, it's very simple, because if it remains there, but you have to do this b'terem yovei hakohen. The kohen says in advance of his coming, make sure, go home, empty the house. I'll take all of your artifacts out of the house. Before the kohen comes, lidei says hanega, to see the actual lesion. Why? The Torah says, v'lo yitma kol asher baboyis. And in doing so, all that is in the house will not become defiled and ritually impure, because tzaras is a source of ritual impurity. And once the tzaras is decreed to be tzaras, like the Maharal says, once the kohen says it's tzaras, it will be tzaras. And once it is tzaras, then everything in the home will become tummy. V'achar chein, and after everything's taken out, all the things that are susceptible to ritual impurity, yovei hakohen lireis es habayis. Then the kohen will come. Then the kohen will see the house. What is up with this business? Beterem tovei hakohen. So Rashi explains shakol zman she'ein kohen nizkaklei, that as long as the kohen hasn't actually encountered the tzaras, as long as he hasn't actually seen it and made a pronouncement, ein shom teiras tuma, there is absolutely no ritual impurity that is associated with it. It looks like a nega. It might be a nega. It will be a nega. It isn't yet a nega. And as such, ritual impurity doesn't apply. Rashi says, the reason the kohen tells him to empty everything out is she'im lo yifanehu, if he won't empty things, v'yavei hakohen, the kohen will come, v'yira hanega, and he sees, he says, this is a lesion. I know what this is. He cannot say, do me a favor, take everything out of the house quickly. The kohen is not allowed to do that. Because nizkak lehezger, the moment the kohen sees that it is a nega, the kohen must make that pronouncement immediately. Since the kohen has no choice, he is duty-bound by Torah to make the pronouncement. He'll say what it is, he'll identify it. The moment he identifies it, what happens to all the artifacts? They become ritually impure. What was the Torah so worried about? If this is on objects made of metal, yatbilim v'yataru, so bring it to the mikvah. If to make him crazy now, it's a big schlep to take everything out of the house. So you say, I'll have a schlep later. All right, if it'll be a problem, I'll take it to mikvah later. V'yamal oichlinu mashkin, if it's on foodstuff, so what's wrong? So the foodstuff, when he's in days when he's ritually impure. The Torah here clearly was worried only about one thing, and that is earthenware. Because klicheres ein lehem tara b'mikvah, they cannot become purified in the mikvah. In other words, what do we see from this? The Torah is worried about even small things, says the Or HaChaim. What's called pachim ketanim. We had this with Yaakov Avinu, that he went back for the little things, for the small tchatchkes. The Torah says, bal tashkes, not to waste, is a sin. And a sin doesn't only mean in its literal iteration of the Torah that you cannot destroy a tree that's fruit-bearing. But the truth is that anything which has a purpose, we should not be wasting. If somebody will tell you that this notion of recycling has roots in the Torah and is a Jewish idea, it's true. It's true. Does it mean it's supposed to become a religion? No. And people who make it into a religion, who claim afterwards, you see, the Torah says it. They're not. Why don't they do everything else the Torah says? They don't keep Shabbos, they don't eat kosher, they don't put on tefillin, they don't have mezuzahs, but they're recycling because I'm a Jew. What kind of baloney is that? If you're doing what the Torah says, why don't you do everything else? But in fairness, there is a concept of baltashkes. And we see it here once again very clearly, that even the pachim ketanim, because the Or HaChaim says, why can't the kohen just like wink, make with your hand, tell him, you know, take the stuff out? No, you can't do that. Or HaChaim says, achar sheroi hakohen, after the kohen sees the nega and he knows, he says, tzorech lahazgiroi, he has to immediately make the pronouncement. The kohen is duty bound. Ein reshus lezakev, he has absolutely no permission to wait. So by the dint of the Torah law, the moment the Kohen sees it, that's it. And as such, he says to the person, do me a favor. Before I get there, put things in order so that I shouldn't have to be the cause of your things becoming ritually impure, because the Torah is chasa amamayinam sheyismal. The Torah worries about the possessions, the things of monetary value that belong to a yid. And therefore, if the Torah worries about people's money, and the Torah worries about people's possessions, how much more so we should be mindful of people's possessions and not take advantage or exploit somebody else's possessions, or not be concerned, and so on and so forth.
So what would happen to the treasure that is in the wall?
The treasure in the wall. Well, the treasure in the wall, we said it would be made out of gold. They can go to the mikveh.
So those treasures, they're related to the Avodah Zarah?
Are the treasures related to Avodah Zarah? That would be a problem, because you can't really use Avodah Zarah.
Can't use them.
Right, yeah. No, but this is just treasures. People, anyway, we're going back to yesterday. But that was the idea of different treasures. All right, but let's stick to today's subject. So I'm going to direct you to page Resh Yud Dalad, which is to page 214 in the Biurim book. This din that we just learned, This ruling, it's a ruling in Torah. Sha'al ha-koyin la-hamtin, that the koyin has to actually wait. He can't come. You gotta wait le-pinui ha-boyis, until the home is emptied. Lefnei ha-achraza alav ketomei, before he will come and pronounce it to be ritually impure. And as the Ur HaChaim explains, as along the lines of Rashi, that it has to be done immediately. So he has no choice. It's all kedei she. The things that are in the house should not become ritually impure. That's why. Now you know that this is something unique. It's only found by the laws of Negoyim, only found by this lesion-like tzaras reality. Ein benimtzom mikra acha. There is nothing else like this in Judaism, where we would actually delay the identification of something, or where something has to be identified that tchulas hatuma, that the, so to speak, establishment where the tuma takes root is nidches kedei shaloi titam dvarim acherim. It's the only example of where actually we're going to deflect possible ritual impurity in order to ensure that somebody's items don't become ritually impure. Usually, the laws of ritual impurity are colorblind. It doesn't make a difference. It is what it is. It's ritually impure. Deal with it. That's not a problem. Over here, the Koyans know it's not, I don't want to come. I can't see it yet because it might be ritually impure. So why are we being so nice, so to speak? Why are we so worried about it? It is what it is. So the Rebbe says, therein lies a beautiful message that's being conveyed to us. This is the reason for this, along the lines of what we call homily, drush, and musa, and an ethical teaching of Judaism. Yiduam divrei harambam. This well-known, the words of the Rambam, which are found in the end of the laws of Tumas Tzaras. The Rambam says, Hatzaras ois ufelo hayabi yisrael. This whole business is miraculous. This is not a normal, typical contagion. This is not the sum total result of some kind of unhealthy behavior or moisture. This is an ois ufelo. This is totally miraculous, be yisrael. And the only reason that there was this concept of Tzaras was in order to warn and forswear and remove the people from speaking this kind of gossip and negative talk. The person who speaks in that fashion, the first thing is the walls of your home start to change. And then, if a person realizes, gets the message, mends his ways, then the home will become purified and everything's fine. What if a person refuses to smell the coffee? He hears this message. He sees it. Can't be bothered. I don't care. I'm going to do whatever I'm going to do. I'm not changing my lifestyle. This is called Amad Berishay. He remains diligent. He remains obstinately connected to this bad path he's chosen. Until the home has to be knocked down. Now he's homeless, he's lost his property. What happens next? Mishtan and kli ha'oir shebebeisei. The next thing is the furniture. The furniture would be your Chesterfield. The leather throws or leather couches or leather pillows. So leather also can become stricken with tzaras. So from his home, it goes to his furniture. Chazabai, he returns to being a fine person. Yitaru, then they go to the mikveh. Omad Berisha, he remains wicked. Achi Yisufu, until it becomes burnt. What's next? From the walls to the furniture, what's the next line of attack? The next thing is Mishtan and Habigodim Shalav. Next thing is the clothing. Im Chazabai, if he returns, if he does tshuva, all right, good. Omad Berisha Achi Yisufu, the Rambam says, he remains wicked, remains attached to this terrible behavior. Then afterwards, Mishtana Oyrevi Yitzara. So it went from the walls to the furniture to the clothing, and finally it reached the person. And once it reaches the person, the Yomuvdol Mufursim Levadai, now he is designated as a Metzora, separated from the circulation of normal human interaction. He has to be taken away from people. He has to be disconnected from his family and friends and society. Until he can no longer speak in that slanderous, gossip mongering tongue. You know why? Because he's nobody to talk to. Because he's all alone. Talk to himself. This is making mockery of others, demeaning and denigrating others. Lashon hara, and speaking gossip and slander. Now, from the words of the Rambam, Midvarav Nimtzo, it comes out, Shal Amite Shal Dover, in truth, Mahavim Hanegoyim Chesed Godel Min HaShemayim. Negoyim are not negative, Negoyim are positive. This is a corrective form of Hashem's punishment, but it's not punishment per se. It's not punitive, it's corrective. Hashem is just trying to guide the person back, make a mensch out of him. So, in fact, we have a situation where there's a great kindness. It's a chesed that Hashem does. Hashem is trying to help him to become a better person. You don't get the message. First is writing on the wall. Then it's on your couch. Now your clothing. And now your person. No. When are you going to wake up already? Hashem is trying to help him. Precisely because Hashem loves us and he cares about us. That a person who has chosen a path of folly and wickedness is doing tremendous harm to himself, and Hashem cares about that. Like the famous words of the Book of Torah Education that says over there, Mishar Sheha Mitzvah, the source root of this mitzvah is Sheratza HaKel Betuve HaGodel. Hashem, in his great kindness, in his great goodness, Liasreinu, he wishes to chastise us, Kaasher Yaser Ishas B'nei, as a person might criticize his own child. Why does he criticize his own child? Why does he discipline his own child? Why does he punish his own child? Because he hates the child? Because he loves the child. Why should I discipline somebody else's kids? Do whatever you want. But my children, I feel a responsibility for. It's because I love them. That's why I'm doing whatever what it takes to bring something corrective. Chesed ze miyuchad zesh l'Kadosh Baruch Hu. This incredible kindness, this unique kindness of Hashem, mizbat agam b'din ze, is being conveyed to us in the parameters of this particular halacha. Shakadosh Baruch Hu on one hand is striking the person with tzaras, but on the other hand, chaskam omein yishal chayte. He doesn't say he's a sinner, he's a bad guy, let him lose all his money, or let him lose his earthenware. No! He's a sinner, that's sad, and we have to bring him back to the path of decency. Why should he lose more than is necessary? Why should the pachim ketanim, why should the klicheres, why should those small objects which can't become ritually pure, why should they become lost? V'tziva la'akev esatumah. He says, Hashem says, don't bring it to me yet. Ad la'acha pinui habayis, till the home is emptied, k'day shechefze habayis le'yitamu, so that the things in the home should not become ritually impure. Let me recap. Bottom line, person here is being punished by Hashem. The person here is getting stricken. So a person gets hit with a $100,000 bill, and God says, listen, let's make sure we don't give him an extra bill of 10 bucks. It doesn't make any sense. You just slammed him with a $100,000 fine. Now you're worried about the 10 bucks? You took his home. His whole home is going to be, his life's going to be turned inside out. His home's going to be smashed, but you're worried about the artifacts in the home? Clearly, he doesn't care about the artifacts. The person's getting stricken. The person's getting stricken, so strike him all the way. Hashem says, no. The striking, if the striking is out of anger, with a punitive sense, so then give it all you got, you know? Throw whatever you could at him. But Hashem is, this is corrective. So therefore, what's being thrown at the person? Only what's necessary. Not 1 ounce more. Not one detail more than is necessary. The home has to change. But the kelim in the home, the things in the house, at this point, they don't have to be stricken. So Hashem says, take it out. And that's how we can understand the seeming oxymoronic nature of this din, where on one hand we're talking about a very harsh punishment, and on the other hand, we're so concerned about little details. Because in the end, Hashem loves us and is concerned for us. And even though sometimes we have to take this on the position of faith, because we don't see it, and sometimes we don't feel it, but we have to know that that is indeed the truth. That Kadosh Baruch Hu loves us, and everything that happens to us ultimately is for our own good. L'chaim.